Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, I'm Harriet Dyer.
And I'm Anna Thomas. And this is our podcast.
I don't usually find women funny, but...
I don't usually find women funny, but...
There's a pain in your past.
A what? A goat's head was on a plate and it went past.
Oh, I said because of the pain in your back.
I thought you were having, like, you know, that's so Raven moment where it's like, it's because you had a pain in your past. That is why you cannot look a goat's head on plates. Reminds you.
Maybe you were part goat.
Who knows? I wouldn't rule it out. I'm very heavy.
Goats aren't heavy.
Heavy.
Oh.
I'm very heavy.
Yeah, but all animals are hairy. Goats no hairier than another.
Yes. Speaking of goats, right, I've got some questions for you as well.
From
people that watch.
Goats?
Listen. No. From people that
Isn't that
listen
a film?
To our podcast. Oh, yeah. The men that watch goats.
Goats. Oh, so...
from people that have listened.
Yeah, all these questions, very ominous.
Well, no, nice questions.
Oh, no.
Why would they be awful?
I don't know.
I'm the same. If ever I have an email to my email address, I assume that someone's seen me at a gig and hates me.
Mm. Or they've found out something I've done that I don't even know. Do you get me? Like,
are they going to blackmail us?
Mm. What have I done?
So I was amongst the goats on Friday, right?
As you were.
So I was on my way to a gig, and then there was like the worst traffic, but it was standstill, like it wasn't it just wasn't moving. And then I was trying to look at what is happening on the Woodhead Pass.
You're just gonna Google what is happening.
Yeah, I'll go on Twitter because they always know on Twitter.
Is it? I never thought that. So you Google it, type in
Woodhead Pass or what is happening, and they were, because you know there's a snake pass Twitter account which
I didn't
always
know
has the up-to-date what's happening. Mm. But I guess it wouldn't really concern you, like I literally live by it, so it often I need to know on the way to the gig anyway. So I went to look on Twitter,
yeah,
and I had no reception, so I couldn't look on anything. I couldn't even ring anyone. So, and then this lady came from the other direction and went, it's gonna be fucking 2 hours, eh? The traffic?
Well, like a bloody town crier.
Yeah.
Was she just walking along the side?
She was swaying all over the place because she had one hand on the wheel, one hand on her bell.
But, well, so she was driving?
With the town crier bell.
It's gonna be ages.
It's gonna be ages, governor. So I said, holy moly. So then, but the...
Holy moly.
Hells bells.
And you were doing it... So she was doing it one way, saying it's going to be it. You're here, like, hells bells.
But I couldn't, Anna, because it was a traffic jam.
Oh.
So then I was like, oh, because I'd done all the Woodhead Pass now, I was on the Woodhead Road.
Hmm.
And then I was like, well, now I've got... I was like, I can't go all the way back to go on the Snake Pass. That's ridiculous. Oh. So I thought, but... Here did lie the problem. The problem was that because I had no signal, the sat nav was rooting itself.
Oh, I hate that. I've had that, and we'll get back to that. But I hate it.
Yeah.
You end up just screaming into the steering wheel.
Oh, screaming into the goats.
Into the goats.
Sorry, Alice, I meant that with goats.
When did this goat get into the room? They're podcasting with goats now.
Well, I'm like the lady from Home Alone 2, but it's
what?
The pigeons.
Oh, goats.
Just goats on my shoulders.
You know, that's like a really sad scene, and there's a quiet, like, ding dong, ding ding, ding, you know, music, and there's you, but with, oh, just grab your face, with like all the goats and that, like, really sad.
And so then it started to say,
where did these goats come from?
Oh, because it's on the, this is the thing, I don't know if anyone owns the goats, or because it's on the, it's all the hills, so, you know, because there'll be, because I'd already passed four sheep that day in the middle of the road, just walking about.
Oh, I couldn't, were they safe?
Well, as safe as you can be meandering, but what you always do is you flash who's coming up, and they'll flash you to go, so then I'll go, what danger is ahoy? And then I'll see the, I'll be like, ladies, all the sheep. Yeah. They haven't a clue that they're in the middle of it. They're just like,
stresses me.
Just like eating bush.
They need to cut that out, because on the way to McCandlough, there was one, I thought it was a baby sheep with this, like, a lamb, with his head stuck in a bloody, what's it called?
A fence.
And so I had to, like, luckily there was no cars behind me or anything, so I just had to, like, I carried it going. I was like, no, it'll pull his head out, and I was like, no, I can't, so I reversed and thing, and it just, as soon as I stopped, it ran away.
Oh, thank like, goodness. So his head, so it wasn't stuck?
No, he was just putting his head through, but I got
that
my head
so
out.
That was so lovely of you, like James Harriet. Is it Harriet?
It was James Harriet.
That man that lived, that was like Dr. Doolittle, but in Yorkshire.
Is it? Oh, yeah. That'd be me. I'd never
you
sleep.
You like that.
I might.
You're like super vet.
But I don't help him, I just cry at them.
No, you went to help it.
Well, that's the thing, I couldn't leave her because I know I would not sleep that night. And it was this, driving through the dark. Where was I coming from? From Newcastle way, so somewhere in between Newcastle and Lancashire, like driving, and it was country roads and bits, and there was a rabbit on the side, alive, but I sort of like beeped at it because I was like, get the fuck away. And if why are you hanging about my road? Did your parents not tell you? But I felt bad because I probably scared it and maybe gave it a heart attack with beeps in it.
No. But what was the option? To be dead?
Exactly. Or to be a little bit embarrassed that you were beeped at.
Yeah, exactly.
If you see me too close to the road, you beep at me too, all right?
They'll be like, bloody hell, Roger. Is you... Then all of his mates will be like, you got owned by that girl in the Corsa.
I don't know. In the car, the driving machine. Like, bloody hell, Roger.
Bloody hell, Roger.
And then on the rabbit YouTube, it's like, yeah. Rabbit gets roasted by beep.
Gets destroyed.
20 fire flame before she was...
I thought then it was finally trying to reroute me, and then it still just lost its tits, and then I went which way I thought, but then I was slowly going up a mountain, like I was literally like that in my car, and you know when you get to like when you're on the moors and that, it'll go turn left, and then you'll go left, but it's not even a normal left, it's like the most angular, then down, and then sharp right, and then you're vertically going up. So then I had to, because then I was just getting later and later for the gig, so I had to ring the people at the gig and go, well, they were laughing because I was like, I'm now, because like they were like, I was like narrating it as I was, because then I couldn't. So I needed to press send, but it wasn't safe, so I just So then I was just like, literally like that, going like, now I'm in Mount fucking Kilimanjaro.
Vertical, is that the word? Like,
yeah, I was literally vertical.
What gear do you even go in for that?
Well, I've got an automatic. I dread to think.
I can't figure it out. Hills, no need for them. Don't tell Wills I said that. Well, what's happened?
No, I'm just thinking, I wouldn't even know the first... Because that was one of my problems when I didn't have an automatic, was I was always here, like, because I put it in the wrong gear, and then I would always be like, but how do I know? Like, how do you know?
Well, I've got a warning thing if I haven't changed the gear. But
oh,
with
that's
hills,
handy.
Apparently I need to ignore that when the hills and stuff, because you don't... You need to be in a lower gear or something, but I just sort of...
Oh, that's going down
out.
The hill. Oh, no.
Going up them, it won't let me move. When I'm in, like, fifth gear, it will not go up a hill. No chance. So I go down and just feel it out.
Yeah, no, that's right. Well, do you know what? Because do you know Tom Wrigglesworth has a bit in his set about, and it's sort of a bit of a punchline that he's about, you know, it's very, very funny, and so I'm not doing the bit. But and one of the sort of jokes in it is that his wife doesn't drive, but they, like, when his wife was pregnant, they said, oh, you'll be able to drive again after a couple of weeks, so he's like, oh, this is phenomenal, because she doesn't drive. Like, but he's, one of the bits is that she went round the roundabout in fourth, like rabbit hop round the roundabout in fourth. But then the other day I was going to, and I thought, oh, I wonder, because I saw that bit that Tom does, and I was like, I wonder what car that it automatically goes in when we go to roundabout. It was in fourth.
It must mean, but did you, she must have stopped.
Oh, it's fictional, I guess. But he said it as a punchline, and people laugh, which to me says that it's fun. It would never be true, but it automatically went into fourth for me, round and roundabout.
But did you stop before you? Because if you stop, then you have to go down. But she must have. I don't know. I'm talking like I know. I give like two comedians a lift, and they said, and I said, sorry, I'm very new to driving, just in case, you know, to tell me if like I'm scaring you or anything with my driver. And he was like, yeah, I didn't notice you are very slow with changing the gears. So I don't think I've got them down enough to be saying anything.
But I don't know. Because I ended up copping out of the gear life.
So you have you've passed automatic but not manual?
No, I passed manual. But it was so traumatic.
You were like, never again.
Yeah, I was just like stalling on roundabouts and all that sort of stuff, which is just terrifying. Just everyone beeping and horrible. Whereas at least automatic is just... Because do you know what it was? It was Hayley Ellis got an automatic and she was like, it's just a game changer. It's just like you're... And I think for people like us who... I mean, you're diagnosed, I'm undiagnosed, but probably do have ADHD. It really frees up a big less thing to worry about.
Exactly. Because that I have to... Like, I say... Like, I must look wild when I give people lifts and stuff, because I have to say out loud, okay, I've stopped first gear.
They can wind their fucking neck in.
Well, exactly. I'm giving them a show while we're doing it. Because like, I'll be like, I'll have... Oh, it's awful. I'll have the sat-nav on loud, because if it's just there and I have to look at it, I'm not going to follow the instructions. No. I need to be reminded 20 times that there's a left turn coming up.
Oh, why do they not? Do some people not have it on loud? I always have it on loud.
It's the same. But, like, I'll be talking and then they'll interrupt and I'm like, I'm really sorry. So maybe they do. I just don't get many lifts from people. I don't know.
Did you, before you drove, get a lot of lifts? I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you?
A few, not loads. Like,
because logistically, you don't live near many people, do you?
No, exactly. So, like, if I did get lifts, I'd go, like, to a city and meet them, like, and then, like, Manchester or something, and then we'd go car share and things. But I've done a few. I like car shares. Depends, you know, on who and what and things. But it could be quite a nice bonding thing, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, yeah. After a car share, you're either friends for life or mortal enemies. There was one in Birmingham. I don't even think he does comedy anymore, this guy. And he... Oh, he was a cigar smoker.
Oh,
yeah.
I've only smoked one once, like a drag at a wedding, like a sip of it one. And
he was like smoking
beefy
cigar after some cigar on the journey.
His breath must have been like
leather. Well, it was just the car was just, because I get travel sick anyway.
So he was driving
with a fucking big fat cigar in his mouth, like I was like fucking, what's he called? Uncle Sam from Bugsy Malone.
Oh my god.
Yeah, bloody hell. Because you do sort of, what's the word? Put yourself out there a lot more than you would usually, because you want to get to these, do the gigs.
Yeah.
I definitely did. Oh, I would not be getting in a car with fucking Al Capone.
No, well, unless you can get into like a certain club, fine.
Yeah.
I have to. But yes, cigar. Did he apologise? Say like,
no, it was easy. He was just like, This is how I roll.
Like, clouds of smoke and that. They're very... They're big to them.
Yeah, that gig that I got a lift to, it was in Coventry or Nuneaton, and there was six people there, and one guy became like a really big fan and then booked me, and but I did not want to, I couldn't get there as well, but booked me for a essentially a corporate for on his army base.
Blame. That's a hard one. I would not want.
There was
like,
all
no offense. That's tough crowd.
Tank ice sculptures.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Because what I say it's a hard one. Everyone likes comedy and things, but I just feel like any corporate anyway is tough. And then if it's like in a military place, are they scared to laugh about certain things in front of each other?
Well, they were just they'd been to a fucking war, so they were all just a bit gone.
Exactly.
Because they were all probably very traumatized, and it was like celebrating just getting back from somewhere. But I didn't even know it was a corporate. Like I only now, because I was so new. So me and this other comedian were just like. We were just like the money that we're getting, and but then they thought we were a double act, so then they were like trying to like introduce both of us as a double act, and then it was just so
go up and do your set one line each, but your own set, so not even like so my mother-in-law. So what's this about Rubik's cubes? I don't know.
It was mental, and then so it was just complete. And they were all dressed in their badges, and me and the comedian were in, like, well, you know how I dress? I was dressed like this.
Exactly, comfy and lovely, but not in badges and...
No, not for, like, fucking Mr... What's he called? Captain Tom.
Captain Tom, was he there?
Yeah. And then there was some sort of beef. There was like a house band or something, and then they were angry that we wanted their microphone or something. And then so anyway, so no one was listening. Everyone was like just so confused by the whole thing. And then at the end, they were trying to like lift us up and put us on their shoulders and giving us bottles of port.
That sounds like a good ending. Apart from
but what about the middle?
Yeah, like that confused bit.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Tricky.
So it was all just what did we get up? So why are we going on about the goats?
How did we get go? I don't think, you know what, I think this is one where I can't step back to it. Wait, goats? No. Usually I can crawl back.
Yeah, you're really good at that.
But I've had too much sugar, right?
Yeah, the army, sugar. Who?
Army lifts. Give a lift.
Lifts. Driving gears.
Gears. What gear to go in a hill. And
why did I tell you about that though?
No, but because you were going
cigar. The cigar smoking act, and then that's where I met the guy that did the gig at the army base.
Full circle.
I've never found our way back before.
Look at
it's
us.
It's always you.
We just Hansel and Gretel'd it then.
We bloody did.
With the crumbs and things.
So we went to the lovely shop. Which, well, it's not that lovely, actually. But,
I love it. Be nice to it.
It's got a really good selection of stuff. And then, Anna, well, you have got 50 million drinks.
I've got three drinks going. I've got a Bounty milkshake. I've got a Squeeze It. So, for the people listening... I sound like Lorraine Kelly. It's like those. I don't know how to describe this. It's like a plastic tube of a drink, and you twist the top off, sort of phallic. How would you? Whatever. And then I've also got.
Have you seen dicks like that?
There's a rumor going around. And then I've also got like a grape sort of thing. But there was a rumor going around my school when I was younger that there was a boy with a willy like a Fanta bottle. You know, they go out and in.
God, like a monkey nut.
Like a monkey nut?
In its shell.
So we've got a lot, it's got, that shop's got such exciting drinks and stuff, like that. I've just got like three of them.
I think we said, when me and Anna went to the cinema, I was too sugared out, and then this is just, I'm absolutely buzzing.
Harriet and the Grape stuff as well. What is it?
It's called Bigger Grape, and it says, I am Jamaican.
I am Jamaican. Is this going to be ASMR if I open it into the thing?
Do you want it to be?
I don't know.
Get some extra... Oh, have you not had any yet? It tastes thick. It's like grape gravy.
Oh, gravy. I couldn't want it more.
Oh my god, I had a McDonald's breakfast this morning.
What flavour?
Egg cheese McMuffin.
Lovely.
With a hash brown. A cup of tea.
A cup of tea.
Oh my god, what did I do? Oh my god! Oh no, it's there. Also, I thought I'd left it in my car and not drunk it, but it's just there. So, yeah, you know they, because I only knew it because I've seen them do it, they get like a big brush and they put... Oh, you've worked at McDonald's?
Yeah, with McDonald's.
When they do the buttery on your bap, it's like they brush it with butter. Or do they squeeze
the squirter? Oh, yeah, no, we used to squeeze it. Like, you know, like a ketchup bottle, yeah. like a burger van or something. Those sort of like big squeezy bottles. I was thinking, we used to squeeze a little bit
of butter.
Yeah, lovely.
Well, today was the first time I could really taste the butter and good. I was just loving it. Yeah.
Salty, gorgeous.
Yeah, oh, it was lovely. Forget the people that work at the bar, they were saying that because they were really going on about how much they love McDonald's hash browns.
All right.
I just think I tweeted it once because I think it. You know when you mash, you mash.
Yeah.
With a masher.
Yes.
And then the lumpy bits that get stuck in the holes. I feel like hash browns are made entirely. The McDonald's ones are made entirely out of those lumpy bits.
Yeah, just it's quite jarring. The texture. Like, I love a hash brown, but I have to be in the mood for it because I don't like unexpected textures in my food. I don't know anyone who does. So when they're sometimes smooth and then they get like a little bit of an extra crunchy bit in a hash brown, upsetting.
Yes. They really are an unpredictable texture.
They are.
Because some are soft, some are... I like the crunch, but I need to know... I need my cards to be on the table before. Yeah, I need to know what I'm in for.
But that's why I like McDonald's in a way. It's like you can go anywhere and you know... This sounds like an advert, but you know mostly what you're going to get. But with the hash browns, no.
No. There's always a black bit... In your hash brown, and I'm like, well, you haven't washed your potatoes.
That sounds like a euphemism. Oh, don't want to go near her. She hasn't washed her potatoes.
Yeah, well, I'll take you to court. McDonald's, I mean, not you. And I definitely wouldn't take them to court.
Yeah, exactly.
Could you imagine?
But they're doing very well for themselves. I know. It might be a bit of an issue.
I'm not really. I don't have anything to give.
That's home.
Apart from my new camera.
Lovely camera.
Oh yeah.
Hello, camera.
Check out on the old Patreon.
Just have a bit of video to show what the videos the camera's like. Is that what we've done?
It'll be. I mean it all depends on the palaver that me trying to access the because there's already, isn't there? What did I say about those people that were
on? Oh no, yes!
So I got it on eBay, like everything, and it was I forgot to tell you actually. It was a lovely. So basically, it was a lady. So it was brand new, but she said, "Oh, it wasn't brand new because we've seen evidence now." So she was a fibber.
Yeah, there's literal photos of her using it.
Yeah.
It caught red-handed.
Yeah.
Well,
she's
listening to this.
How to delete it, clearly. So she, so it was lovely. So she said in the description that she had retired and her son had assumed that she'd like to set up a YouTube channel. So got her. Oh, her vlogging equipment.
Out of the blue, like she'd never mention it. He's like, "You're the next Zoella, mum."
I'm thinking she didn't mention it because she was like, "And I've got no desire for it." So yeah, so I think it must have been like, "What would my mother want to do now she's retired?" So it was just her and her husband. Well, the pictures were really good quality, actually.
Oh, very good. I could see every pore and every drip of that cup of tea.
Yeah, and I was saying to Anna, I was dreading that, you know, something bloody fruity would be on the thing. But see, one thing I'm a bit gutted about is because I only opened it for the first... I've had it a while, like a week or so, and then I only opened it today. And I expected, you know, them grey moth things...
Oh, the audio, little squirrel things that you put in microphones.
I mean, I don't need it because it's for the outside, isn't it? Mm. But I was told I'd have one. Kick I bet off. She's fucking kept that, and her husband, drinking their tea, fucking muffing about.
And it, muffing about with it. Probably think it's like a pet cat or something.
Yeah.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, get on Crime Watch, because now you can just send those pictures right in. Do you know these people? And it's like a man with his cup of tea looking like dead friendly. They've been stealing muffs.
Can you imagine? That ruins people's lives, doesn't it?
What, Crime Watch?
No, when they do. I'm only saying because my partner put on the bloody, the paedophile hunter documentary last night.
Oh, I thought you meant like he submitted onto like a Facebook forum a paedophile thing. I was like, what? Like,
no. So we watched it. And
yes.
Like, why have I told you this? Because when he, what's his name, had a show about it? Not paedophiles. What's he called? Had a show about, because he had a phone and then his phone got stolen and then he had the photos were coming in from the person who
stole the phone.
Yeah, into his cloud.
Oh, that'd be such. Oh, there's a film in that I'd watch. Imagine, and then you like try to piece together like,
well,
and then a
children.
Murder happens, and you see it in the back of the photo, and he's like, oh, "How do I get there?" And you're, oh, sorry, what are you going to say?
That is good. Well, because in this one, dicks were coming.
Is it?
Tony and Clark. Yeah, because we were at the Frog once, and then I cracked the code, so we ended up having a show about it, and I was like. And I figured out how to find the guy, but I can't think how I did it.
Was he stood up sort of side saying, "I am in Shrewsbury"?
Well.
Yeah, like
that's the Willy.
But like he stood there with his like a letter of his address just happens to be there, like with his driving license. Like I reckon that might be the address.
The funny thing was though that. So, because to guess if you met Damien Clarke, he's just so lovely and wonderful, such a good guy.
Who is it? A comedian?
He's Australian, but he lives in Ireland, and he wears a hat.
Oh, I don't know. Imagine if I was like the rest of it. Oh, I don't know. He wears a hat. I know him. Yeah, the hat man.
I think he's got a wife and child in Ireland, so he lives there. But he's just fantastic, so enthusiastic.
Oh, see, I love her.
Yeah, he's just great. So everyone followed this group when he was doing his show, followed this group to find out, because I think he found the guy and all this business.
Mm.
So, but then it turned out that the guy was a bit of a knob, so we were all in this group.
Oh.
And then the guy was, like, really innuendo-y and all this business and saying about, because we'd all seen his knob.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it'd been pixeled out, actually, but you could see the outline.
Mm.
Well, I don't know what my point was.
Wait,
there.
So you were in a group chat with him?
So he did an Edinburgh show about it, and then it was really popular, so then there was loads of people that liked Damien and liked the show that was in a group. It was like Find Tom's Prom or something. Before we knew who it was.
Yeah.
So then he was added to the group once he knew.
Oh, the person who was Willie
was. Willie
was,
yeah.
And then he was just in.
It was a bit of an anticlimax.
He enjoyed it too much, and
Because I guess we've only got his word for it as well. Because he said he bought it from someone, not realizing it was stolen.
Oh.
But we've only got his word for that.
Well, exactly. But imagine if he did, and then everyone's just seen his Willy, and he's done nothing wrong. He's just bought a phone, not knowing.
Yeah, but he loved it. He loved the drama.
Oh God! Oh dear me, too. No. Dear me.
Do you want a question that the audience have asked?
Yes, please. What is this? It's so ominous.
Well. Oh. It's not attached to anything.
No, see, mine's not charging.
Oh.
But it's not plugged. It's plugged into this one. But I've got two of the same power bank. Should I go get my charger now? No, I'll get in a bit. Because it's got enough charge, but all right.
What am I doing?
You're finding a question.
Oh, yeah.
Where did these questions come from?
Our audience.
What, they're shouting them into the wind?
No, to me. Like... Where is my... Oh, I've got a good one. From Jeanette from Cornwall.
Hello, Jeanette from Cornwall. Lovely to meet you.
Would you give up comedy for a job
yes.
in a...
no.
For a job in a hedgehog hospital?
No, because I'd have to see so many hedgehogs dying that I wouldn't sleep at night, and I'd go and visit, and I'd donate, if I won a lottery, donate as much money as I could there.
But don't be those people that they'll go on game shows and then because some people give all the... When there's children dying, they give all the money to the Rolf Harris... Well, we should have known. Rolf Harris once on one of these programmes gave, thousands to a fucking donkey sanctuary. And I was like, there's kids dying, Rolf!
Oh, but also, donkeys. Oh, dog.
You love donkeys,
I love
you?
But I'd have to give half now to children and the donkey. Oh no.
So I've made it... I just think you can be giving thousands to a hedgehog.
But I will. Watch
okay,
me.
Sorry, who am I to tell you?
Just one hedgehog.
Because my friends, they met at a dog sanctuary, dog's trust. They fell in love.
Dog's trust? Were they going to, collect dogs and then they, like... Or did they work there?
No, they worked there.
Oh, and then they... Oh, that's such a lush way to meet. And also probably trauma bond.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Seeing all those dogs.
It was very traumatising because they wanted to go full on John Wick on people and their dogs.
Yeah, like if I saw someone, and they brought in like an abuse, I'd hunt them down, person. But would you give up being a comedian to work in a hedgehog hospital?
I do love hedgehogs.
And I'm sure they love you too.
Sometimes, it depends when you asked me. If you asked me after Edinburgh and I've had a terrible Edinburgh, then yes.
Yeah.
But if you ask me now, when I'm... Because remember, did I tell you a few months ago, I was like, I'm going to quit comedy to be a foster carer.
No, you didn't tell me that.
I was adamant.
Is it? You can do both.
I don't know if you can, though.
Yeah, because foster care, you don't know when children are going to be dropped off. It's sort of like a last-minute thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of emergency.
Yeah, you've got to be... you've got to be ready and waiting at all time. I don't know, because I read these books about this woman that's a foster carer, and she'll plan it, because I'm not very good if my day is suddenly I have to know what's happening, and then if something just gets thrown into it, I'm just like, what the bloody hell am I supposed to do now? I'm all discombobulated.
But I think you'd go I think if it was with the children, I think you'd go autopilot and you'd be good. And because you're a very caring, lovely person, I think you'd be okay, let's do this and get them. And you say, you'd be so nice, because if they've been in a not very safe environment or they've been in a very unhappy place, and then they've come to you and you're such a lovely, happy, friendly, warm person that you'd sort of make them feel safe. I'm rooting for both. I want you to still do comedy, but I want there to be a way that you could... Do you think, can it be bank work where you can say I'm available this week? Or
I don't know. No, I think it depends, because most foster carers will... I think you could be a foster carer that will just have... say if there's a child whose mum is having an operation, so that you have the child for the weekend, but then other foster carers have the kids inevitably...
Until end up adopting, I think.
Yeah, either adopting or going some, because people don't really want to adopt older ones, do they? So then some of them will go into a permanent home, but a foster home.
I see. I've always imagined myself doing fostering rather than having. I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind one day. Fostering, because I'd want to. give that opportunity with, like, maybe not younger children, but like a teenager or something.
Yeah.
And give them, like...
Well, there's so many people that need someone without bringing new ones into the world.
Exactly. That's the thing. There's a lot of babies about. They don't need me popping a couple out. Maybe I'll change my mind one day.
I think you get the better deal on fucking avoiding all the fucking... The screaming.
Exactly. Skip to the conversations part.
Yeah. Although, this latest one of this... Kathy Glass, this woman that's a foster carer at her books, this poor child was so quiet because he was just so used to crying and crying and no one ever came to him, so he just stopped making any noise.
Oh, bless her.
Heartbreaking.
And that goes into adulthood then, because the way you're treated, it's mad, isn't it, how like people react to you as a child. So if you learn that, what's it called, crying doesn't get you any reaction, then you learn as an adult that you may as well not talk about stuff because
No one cares. And his vocabulary was terrible as well because you need to... You don't realise, do you, that when... In fact, I'm, you know, with the kids that sort of live with me now, that you don't realise... It really brings home with the kid I just said about in that book and also the kids that I have, because how important just being spoken to a lot and reading is just so important, and people don't... If I say to one of the kids to read something, he will literally behave like I'm asking him to put his foot in a blender. Yeah. Like, he just has no... He just thinks it's... Yeah, but...
I used to be the same, though. So they put me in...
Oh, you'd hate it.
I don't... So I like it... Well, no, I struggle to read now, the concentration bit. Like, I literally have to force myself to read. And when I do it, I love it. But it's the thing. But when I was younger, apparently I used to say to my mum, I didn't see the point in reading.
Oh, wow.
So they thought I couldn't read for a bit. And I got put in, like, a special class thing, like, for literacy and stuff. And it is what I could. I just couldn't concentrate on the page. And I'd be like... So I'd be reading it and I'd be like... I'd get distracted and make up what was on the page. Even though I could read it, I just didn't... Could not see the point. So I'd be like, the dog sat on the tree. I don't know. Just because I was so bored of it.
You'd make a better ending for the story.
And it's not even like I thought the story was shit. I was just... The action of staring at a page and like going it was just so boring to me that I just wouldn't do it.
Did you not enjoy going in a different world?
Well, now, yeah, when I do it, every time I read a book, I'm like, I should do more of this. This is cracking. Yeah. I love it. And during the lockdown, I ate so many books, went through all of them.
My book?
I ate your book. I did. I loved it. But what I had to do is I saw something on Reddit or somewhere to make yourself read more. Say if you want to read a book in like a fortnight, you'd be like, right, it's got 300 pages, 300 divided by 14, and then I say, right, I need to read this many pages a day, and then I would do that, and then I would tick it off each day, and like, it would make me do it. But if you just give me a book and say, read that, I probably won't read it. It's awful, isn't it? And there's so many books I want to read, it's quite hard keeping the focus on the page.
Well, I think it's the author's job to bring you in as well, because I went to London on, when was it, Wednesday, and then I thought, well, I'll have a little look at this book, and then I was so enthralled that I read it, the book, all the way to London and all the way back. But that doesn't happen with me very often, and now that I've finished all my Kathy Glass books, the foster lady, I've tried to read other ones of hers, but I've got, it's most of them are like, she fosters and then talks about her family, and I've read like 25 of her books, and I feel like I've been there with her family, because they're so lovely. And she really reminds me of my mum as well. So that's over now. So then I'm trying. So last night I downloaded Daisy May, because I've got it on hardback, but I like the light and like to read it.
On a Kindle sort of thing.
Yeah, well, I just have it on my phone, yeah. Because if me and my partner are sleeping at different times, I hate having to have a nightlight on and then read. And I can't, because I just want the Kathy Glass books. But I'm finding it difficult, but I hope that I get into Daisy, because you said it was very good.
Loved it. That's why I love autobiographies. Like, I'm big on those sort of stories. Like, I struggle a bit more with fiction.
I can't get into... At one point, because I read a lot of, like, depressing stuff about... well, being in care and stuff like that. So at one point I thought, I think I'm sending myself a bit balmy. So I was reading like people that went to Cornish holiday homes and fell in love with an old farmer or stuff like that, and I just found it inane drivel.
Yeah, like, especially if you've gone from like these real stories of people like and they're just talking about, oh, and I walk on a beach, but like I love an autobiography and seeing like, especially like
you can be inspired.
Exactly, that's with Daisy May Cooper when I love her so much, like her personality, and you know, she like, I love that she just gives no fucks and doesn't sort of like,
she doesn't mould to, she doesn't dance to any the beat of anyone else's drum.
Exactly, she does, and she's just does what she wants and things like that, and like if someone's been daft she call them out on it. I quite like that. I'm not saying I want to start like, you know, starting doing it myself because I'm a wimp, but like, yeah, I just love it, and seeing her how much work and stuff she put into this country and how like, you know, places weren't picking it up and things like that.
Don't spoil it.
Oh, sorry. But yeah, just I love autobiographies. I'm listening to Dave Grohl's at the moment.
Fun Foo Fighters.
Yeah, because I love Nirvana and stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, I think I quite like Foo Fighters, but yeah, he's a very, I don't know, nice. I like his energy.
Oh, good. Because his energy seeps through a book.
Yeah, well, I've got an audio book.
I tried audio and I can't be hearing. I don't know, I keep missing stuff, what they're saying.
Well, yeah, I can't listen to it in the car. I thought I'd be able to listen to it in the car and do it, but I can't because I don't know how to connect it.
There's road noises.
Yeah.
And then if you're hot and need to open a window, you've got no chance of listening to anything.
Yeah, and the sat, because I've got my sat nav on load on my phone, and it doesn't pause the book to carry on, it just carries on, and then it'll be like.
I found that with podcasts. But if you like autobiographies, one of the best I ever read was Tiffany Haddish's.
I love it. Oh my god, so I didn't really know about
her. That's Black Unicorn.
I love her so much, and again, she's so, I didn't really know much about her comedy and stuff. I don't watch loads of American comedians.
No, I don't. I watched that Girl Trip, me and my partner did, and it was her first film and she just shone.
Yeah,
and I was like, who is this girl? She's, and then amazing. I googled and saw she had a book, and then that's how I,
well, I didn't even know. I was in uni, like, when I went back, and I'd quite lonely, and I was just going through loads of audiobooks and stuff when I just started comedy, and I was a bit sad and things, and I'd like was by myself in York, and I was going through all these autobiographies to the point I'd run out of comedians' autobiographies to listen to on Audible, and I was like, who's this Tiffany? Okay, you know, go for it, I had my thing. And I love her because she came from like, she was fostered. Yeah, wasn't she fostered and stuff and things?
Yeah, no, like, stepdad.
But her personality and the way she's just like, she shines in her energy, and then she's like, she wants something, she goes and does shit, doesn't she?
And she hustled, she did it all in a way that no one else really did. Like, some people are like, oh, this way, that way. She was like something I didn't even know existed, like a hype.
Yeah, hype person.
Yeah, party.
Exactly, like she'd go to bar mitzvahs and stuff and hype people up and get them on the dance floor and stuff. and then it's like, she's one of those people who naturally, they're so infectious that she almost created her own job, didn't she, with that?
Yeah.
She was always going to do something, be in some limelight, because she is such a, like...
Yeah.
Some people chase it. I think it chased her, sort of. That sounds cringy, but do you get me?
Yeah.
She's one of those, like, oh, I love her. That.
Did she read it? The old...
Yeah, listen to the old...
That would have been good, because she's got a great voice, isn't she? Like, a really, like, raspy...
I love her. Like, that's another thing why I like audiobooks, because you get... They add little tidbits as well, they'd be reading it out loud themselves. They hear stuff and they'll add stuff in little comments. Yeah. I don't remember writing that. I don't know. Like Peter Kay did that in his, like, because he wrote it so long ago. And then, like, I remember taking that into school. That was one of the first books I chose myself. Like, was a Peter Kay autobiography. But like, he wrote that.
And then Audible didn't exist then.
No.
So
recently, he's done the audio version, and then there's new chapters in there because it's been so long. And he's talking about like Amazon and things like that. And I'm like,
oh wow!
But yeah, I love like listening to the audio versions and hearing them say it and how they intended it to be wrote. I mean, loads of them probably got ghostwriters.
Yeah.
But like how reading the intonation and stuff and them, I don't know, and them get excited. But I love Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And she was like living out of a car and that, wasn't she?
Yeah, and her boyfriend being nasty to her and things and like.
Yeah.
I think she's one of those who's like, isn't really inspiring. She's had a shit time to begin with, But she, from what you can see, it's not affected her today. And I quite
no,
like.
No.
But it's not. She's not let it take over her life. She's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you know? Because I'm not really into his comedy, but his autobiography was one of the best I read as well. And partly because of how lovely he was to Tiffany was
Kevin Hart.
I
had his before Tiffany's.
Yeah.
So it came up as like a suggested thing. So when I listened to Tiffany's and she talks about Kevin Hart giving her all when she started stand up, Kevin Hart looking after her and stuff, I was like, I know him.
Because I don't really like his comedy though. But
I like his comedy.
I don't like when he goes on about we don't want his son to be gay and all that.
I've not seen that. Okay, I don't agree with that, but yeah, there's a bit where he talks about having someone break in his house or something like that, and him having like secret weapons and stuff like that. I like that.
And his dad and his big old dick.
Yeah, it was a call in the
but I just
but
loved
didn't know the gay
his,
bit.
Yeah, because that was because nice. I used to listen to like his specials and stuff, and then when I heard that, because he's apologised for it now, saying it's not what he meant. Because I think that was why he got. I mean, I might be wrong, but you know when he was going to be doing the Oscars, and then people were like,
"Oh no,
no, he shouldn't." Yeah, so I'm sure that that was because of that. But just what he came from, and just his work, he paved his own path, and
yeah,
and then would do mailing lists for like and was like an entourage, wasn't he, with him and his boys from back in the day and all that. Yeah, it was really interesting.
Just created, like, again, it's inspiring, isn't it? That if you're good enough, you work hard enough, you can get your shit and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just really nice.
The hustle pays off.
Exactly. Because I find it hard when I do listen to other autobiographies where, like, there's one, and I'm not going to name who, but they said that they lived in a slum and in, I think, Kensington or something.
What?
I was like, a slum in Kensington is a fucking palace in fucking anywhere else.
Exactly.
That's not.
Unless
anyway,
it was because there's a Kensington in Liverpool. That's
no,
awful.
In London. I think it was Kensington or something. I was just like, come on now.
Yeah.
And that's one of the first autobiographies I was like, I can't listen to any more of this because you do not hear yourself.
Yeah.
Go outside
and
of London.
And I think because we can't relate to that. Because my mum, I don't know if I've said this before, but probably she loved James Blunt, and then when she found out that she was like, Harriet, he was in the army and he went to private school, and then she was like, I do not like him anymore. Which is quite bad on our part as well, that we're, you know, because we wouldn't want snobbery the other way.
That's it is classism or something, and I do catch myself sometimes being a bit like, oh, you know, when you find out another person, oh, yeah, they're private school, great, okay, and you're like, but I have to be like, no, okay, they worked hard as well, but
yeah, and they haven't, like, no one could help what they were born into, I guess.
But also, I just, because I got it even in before uni when I was at, comedy, before that, when I was at uni, I'd find myself getting really bitter and stuff because I fucking worked hard to get there, and you'd be talking to these people who'd clearly been not all of them, not all private schools, but like some where like they'd been handed the answers. They had very easy life, it feels like, in school.
Yeah.
Wherein I'd have to, in my school, it was. We'd had more than one assembly where they were like, okay, we just all need you to all get 5 C's. Any more fantastic. And it was sort of like, if you want to go to uni, good luck. Like, then you have to do it on your own stuff, like art and stuff. There were no materials. They couldn't afford it. So we'd have to, like, bring in, like, we'd be painting over other people's art from the previous year. Yeah, that sort of, like, not saying that on slums, there's worse lives, but I'm just saying,
slums
like... Slums fucking I will power through anything. That had to stop. I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Your parents, and talking about their parents paying for them, I was just like, fuck off. But like, I know you can't choose anything, but I just...
Oh, I like your shoes.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, like, that thing from uni where it's like, I was just so bitter, like, you don't realise how hard it can be. And I know there's people who've had it worse off than me, but yeah, I'll get off my soapbox.
No, you're right.
So when you do your stories like Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish and stuff like that, where like... And Daisy May Cooper, where, you know, she was literally saying about how her family were, like, scraping money together and stuff. It's quite nice to think, like, okay, so I don't have to have all these contacts and stuff. I'm not saying I'm ever going to be that level, but, like, I can one day hopefully make a living.
Yeah, without it all being, like, a pop-up tent.
Oh, very serious, sorry.
No.
It's been a very serious podcast.
No, but that's what this is, though. It's if however it takes us, we're off.
It just, I get ranty and I'm worried. That's why I never talk about the working class thing, because I can't do it without being angry. Or like, not even the working class, but just being skint. I don't want to put the label. Just growing up skint constantly and having to
work. And then when the people bloody, my flag. When people's bloody, try and bloody claim it. Anyway, we'll be back to an episode about roadkill.
To be fair, I've got another story with that.
Oh, have you?
Ish, but we'll get back. You'll hear it. You'll hear it.
Goodbye. This is the end.
Not for forever, though. We're out every Wednesday on Patreon and Sunday on all other podcast places.
Please leave a review and tell a friend, because that is nice.
Bye. I don't usually find women funny, but...
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.